Isaiah 56, verses 1 through 8. This is the word of our Lord. Take care how you listen. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come. And my righteousness be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me, and who fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it, and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. This is the word of our Lord. Please join me in prayer. Mighty God and Heavenly Father, before you I tremble. What creature is sufficient for these things? To take upon his lips the words of life and the Spirit. My hypocrisy has found me out, and the weakness of my flesh is ever before you. Mercy, O Lord, have mercy upon me. For man shall not live by bread alone, and you are Word made flesh. Give to us the food of your scriptures, and feed us upon them, and the words of your Spirit, that they might well up inside us unto eternal life. That we might learn to love you, for that is our life, and to obey you, for that is our call, now and forevermore. Amen. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. In 6 days they were made, and all the hosts of them, the skies, the seas, the lands, the Lord covered and filled, one by one, until at last he made man, the token of his goodwill, and the symbol of his charity. For man was made to exhibit God, to rule in his image, and to worship in his name. Man did not belong to himself, but to his Creator. He belonged to him, that he might dwell with him, the Lord's treasured possession forever. Man was made in the earliest days of the world's existence, but man was not alone. So too was another thing made, the Sabbath. The Sabbath is as old as time. We may say it is the stamp and sign of sacred time. All of time rushes to it, and on it, on the Sabbath, all of time finds its rest. Time and the Sabbath, like a husband to his wife and a wife to her husband, have been bound together as one. And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. The infinite and inexhaustible God who tires not came to this, the seventh day, and along with his creation, with man, and with all of time, entered into the Sabbath to rest in the splendor of his glory. For he who is timeless made that which was temporal in order that that which was temporal might be made over and bound to him, and that eternity might become the lot of us all, to find rest in one ceaseless act of communion, to find rest in God. The Sabbath was the perfect day, holding out to Adam the hope of his glory. It was the day without end, and it was the day for the ends of creation. It was the day without him. It was holy forever. In a word, the Sabbath was the day of invitation to join God in his likeness and to worship him perpetually upon it. The Sabbath day can be seen throughout the narrative of God's chosen Israel. At times it is innocuous, a shadow of what it was at the first, peering through the nooks and crannies of sacred scripture. At other points, its reference is made with divine force and its demands made explicit upon people. It is seen in the ordinary calendar of time, the six-day week with the seventh, in holy convocations, feasts and ceremonies, in judgments and in prophecy. The Sabbath day is recorded as was intended from the beginning, to be always before the eyes of God's people, its observance never to be forgotten, never to be ignored. We find its most apparent employment in the law, appearing in the first table of the law, the fourth commandment. The placement of the command instructs us of its significance, that it belongs to the worship of God and the morality of his creatures. The prophet Ezekiel cries on behalf of the Lord, "You have despised my holy things and profaned my Sabbaths. The house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, but rejected my rules. And my Sabbaths they have greatly profaned. I will pour out my wrath upon them. I will make a full end of them." Can man be made perfect who rejects God's law? Will he not come with his wrath? Will he not come to chastise? Will he not come with justice? In all the world, the Sabbath is broken. In all the world, it is forgotten and displaced by the pride of man. What will we do when the Lord comes again? What faithfulness will we have to present to him? Shall we again provoke him to anger by rejecting his Sabbaths? For where the Sabbath is abandoned, so too is God. The Lord himself reminds us by the prophet Isaiah that nothing short of obedience to his law will ever please him. And in vain do all men everywhere seek another way of perfection. He says, "Keep justice and do righteousness." This is the second table of the law. "And then keep my Sabbaths." This is the first. He says, "For soon my salvation will come and my righteousness be revealed." Obey the law, for soon his salvation will come, soon his righteousness revealed. But his salvation has drawn near once before, twice, three times, and yet his people continue to despise him, to mock him, rather than increase in their obedience. As the day dawned, their hearts grew cold and polluted with sin. Instead of salvation, his anger was made known. Instead of mercy, he drew near with wrath, with jealousy for what belonged to him. The Sabbath is a day of rest, but it shall also prove to be a day of wrath. It is the day of the Lord, a symbol of sacred time. It shall prove to be the judge of the whole world. Upon it Adam dwelled. Upon it Adam fell. And if forbidden from continuing in it, how shall we live if we neglect it? If we neglect his law? Blessed is the man who remains faithful to God. Blessed, says the prophet, is the Son of Man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. He is that man who keeps God's law, dwelling upon it day and night, who puts it ever before his face and writes it upon his heart. Happy is that man who keeps it, for in keeping it he is known by God, and in prospering all his ways are righteous. If here the Lord has promised salvation, then here we must believe him. It draws near, he says. Shall we then not draw near to him, to obey him? This is the first glory of the Sabbath, for on it the whole law is kept. God is adored and neighbor loved. Here we do no evil, and our hands are used for blessing. Here we do not sit in the seat of scoffers, but in the sanctuary of God. Concerned as he is for our salvation, the Lord raises his voice once more to the foreigner and then to the eunuch. He will not let the foreigner say, "The Lord will surely separate me from his people." But is not the foreigner right to be anxious? Is this not the same Lord who once forbade certain nations from joining themselves to him? Do not they as well see that day drawing near, and the day of their exile coming again, when once the restoration of Israel is complete? Will foreigners be tolerated in that day by Almighty God, the Holy One? Shall they be counted among his perfect ones? And to the eunuch of whom God said, "No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord," what shall be done with them in that day? Mutilated as they are, how shall they bear the mark of God's grace? If in their flesh they are perpetually unclean, how shall they ever be holy? To him who is dry, shall he ever bear children for Abraham? Are these promises for him? For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. To the one forbidden from the house of the Lord, he says, "Come." To the one once dry and barren, he says, "I shall give you a name better than sons and daughters." To the one mutilated in his flesh, he says, "You shall bear in your body the mark of the covenant." To the eunuch, he says, "Receive not the circumcision of your flesh, but of your heart." To him who dared not enter, he invites anew into the sanctuary of his Sabbath, into the service of holy religion, into the fellowship of the covenant, never to be cut off again. For in the Father's house are many rooms with many walls. He would not have told us unless it were so. And among these, the eunuch dwells secure. And to the foreigner who keeps his Sabbath, he says, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer for all peoples. What right do these have, foreign men with foreign gods, to pray to the God of Israel and in the house of prayer for all peoples? What does the prophet Hosea say? And I will say to not my people, you are my people. And he shall say, you are my God. Where are the peoples to be found? Are they not to be found in the Father's house? Where is the Father's house? Is it not his temple? And where is his temple? Is it not upon the holy mountain of God, atop Moriah, atop Zion? 132, for the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. Zion is the place of his salvation, and there he has drawn near to them, to all nations, to all who consider themselves unworthy to be numbered among God's people. He invites them into his house, into his temple. We may say into the temple of his Sabbath, for he dwells in temples not made with human hands, not for trade, for his temple remains a house, and his house is the place of rest. It is the place of prayer for all. Just as time and the Sabbath have been bound together in eschatological matrimony, so also to the Sabbath has the covenant been wed. For the eunuchs and foreigners to hold fast the Lord's Sabbaths is to hold fast his covenant of grace. Keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, he says. Hold fast my covenant, he says again. The Sabbath as the symbol of sacred time, it is also the sign of God's covenant. For in the binding of the two, God has made a mystical union. He has made it such that to have the one is to have the other. To have the other is to have the one. And to reject either is to lose them both. To reject the husband is to reject his bride. To hate his bride is to reject her husband. But the Sabbath is a wedding day in the sanctuary of God. It is the bringing together of love. It is his holy day. And it is the place where he dwells. Let us be so bold to say that to possess the Sabbath day and to keep it is to possess him. The Sabbath is the place of his name. And where his name is, there he must be found. He and his love. Where there is love, there is also sacrifice. For greater has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. In Exodus 20, an altar of earth you shall make for me, and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you. The name of the Lord is to be found upon his altar and upon the place of his sacrifice. In that place he has promised to be. Once the Israelites had returned from their exile to Jerusalem at the decree of King Cyrus, they constructed an altar after the order of Moses. And at the completion of it, sacrificed 100 bulls, 200 rams, and 400 male lambs as a sin offering for the people. And on the 14th day of the first month, celebrating the Passover meal and the feast of unleavened bread, offering pleasing sacrifices to their God. Self-same God who had once expelled from his mouth the gifts of their food without the contrition of their hearts, once again received and upon them returned his name. Our Lord has promised nothing less to the one who keeps his Sabbaths. For he says, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. Nearing the end of his life, the Lord Jesus Christ drew near in the Spirit to his Father in prayer. And praying to him, he says for us, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. You see that the name of the Father is finally upon the Son, for he is more than those places, the fullness of the dwelling place of God. He is the fullness of time, the Lord of the Sabbath, in the temple of whose body we draw near to God, in whose sacrifice we offer ourselves a living sacrifice. He is the altar of God's mercy, and whosoever draws near to touch him is made holy, perfected in his love. For this Christ is the end of the law, and his love is the fulfillment thereof. The command to keep the Sabbath is a command to come to Christ. The Spirit speaking in the prophet says, hold fast my covenant. The Spirit speaking in Christ says, come to me. The prophet says, keep the Sabbath. Christ says, those who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Turn your foot from the Sabbath, and you shall turn your foot to the Son. For it is the day of his glory. It is the day of his resurrection. And by his resurrection,
we enter our Sabbath rest.
For man to return to God, he must be remade. He must be born again. Here, the eunuch receives a new name, and the foreigner becomes a servant. It is on the Sabbath that the covenant is made known, and all exercises of religion kept. It is the place of faith and of communion between God and man. Christ has sanctified all his ordinances, that in what he requires of us, he gives. In this way, he sanctified the Sabbath day. And coming here to meet with him, we are renewed. In returning to him, eternity is returned to us. Our Lord God causes us to learn from this passage that in keeping the Sabbath day, one is thus changed. The promise of the Sabbath and the promise of the covenant is affixed thereupon. It was on the first day of the week that the people gathered together to receive the apostles' teaching, to pray and to lift holy hands. It was on the first day of the week when that saintly Paul talked on and on, preaching to that primitive church the suffering and exaltation of Jesus Christ. It was on the first day of the week when the believers came together to break bread. It was in the breaking of the bread that the Lord was made known to them. The bread of Christ's body, and where there is his body, so also his blood. Is this not the sacrifice that the Father accepts? Is this not the sacrifice that is offered in every place, offered in the name of God, a pure offering? And where is this offering? Is it not before us, represented at this his table and on this his day? Here the Lord of the Sabbath invites us to enter his house, to enter his body, to enter his love. It is the call of time to return to Adam's fate, to be transformed into the likeness of God and in an eternal communion of love. For on the Sabbath is held out to us our salvation. On the Sabbath, it draws near to us, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We return once more to the eunuch, an Ethiopian, as he is prostrate in his heart before the Lord's servant. Reading Isaiah 53, the eunuch pleads, "Who can this be?" Filled with the Holy Spirit, who else could that saintly Philip proclaim but he who suffered for our sake? Believing, the eunuch cries, "Here is water. What prevents him from being baptized? What prevents him from entering immediately into the sanctuary of the church, from receiving the sign of the covenant?" Nothing on this day. Nothing ever again. Did this eunuch in time turn to Isaiah 56? We do not know. And perhaps it does not matter. What matters is that Isaiah 56 came to this beloved one, Lord God says, the Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. To the eunuchs who keep the Sabbaths, a gathering shall take place, and the outcasts draw near, and to those already gathered. On that day when the old has fled and the new has been restored, what shall remain? Only that which is spirit, that which cannot be shaken. The Sabbath is the day of the Lord, and it shall never pass away. It is eternal, for God is eternal. It is the day of salvation and the place of his dwelling. Here we ascend Zion. Zion shall last forever. Here is rest. Here is bliss. Do not delay. Come to it. I pray, come to him.